big story on both sides of the Atlantic. How many jobs were created in the U.S. last month?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, broadcasting live this week from the BBC in London, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Good morning. Coming up, as we wrap up our special focus on the European debt crisis from London, we'll speak with the foreign minister of Greece. But first, to the monthly jobs report from the Labor Department, which comes out in about a half an hour. It's considered the most important economic indicator of the month in the United States, and I'm told by the BBC's business staff that it's right up there on this side of the pond as well. Now, we already know that a lot of layoffs were announced last month, and as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports from Washington, many of those newly jobless worked in the military.
Uncle Sam has decided he doesn't want almost 50,000 soldiers, thanks to across-the-board government cost-cutting and the winding down of two wars. The soldiers losing their jobs are mostly young. John Challenger is CEO of employment consultants Challenger Gray & Christmas. He says the young veterans will be jumping into a crowded pool of job applicants. The unemployment rate among 20 to 24-year-olds is over 14%.
They're going to already face a lot of competition because of the high unemployment rates. Now it's going to get just exacerbated.
Plus, Challenger says soldiers have specialized skills and jargon that don't always translate into the private sector. And soldiers who join the Army right out of high school may not even know how to write a resume, but they'll have time to learn. Linda Barrington heads Cornell's Institute for Compensation Studies. She says the Army will spread the layoffs out over 5 years.
While these numbers are big, the workers that are being downsized are not going to be cut all in a single month or even a single year. So that's going to help.
Especially because Challenger Gray & Christmas expects more layoffs from the military and across the federal government. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Asia, but down in Europe this morning. The FTSE here in London is a fraction of a percent lower right now after Moody's downgraded a dozen British banks. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 183 points to close at 11,123.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
This weekend, the leaders of France and Germany will meet to figure out what to do about the banking crisis that's brewing in Europe. Yesterday, the Bank of England, the British version of the Fed, announced it'll pump more than $100 billion into the economy to stop what it said could be the most serious financial crisis the world has ever faced. These emergency measures are all about getting ahead of the financial hurricane that is currently centered over Athens, Greece. And we're pleased to be joined now from Athens by the Greek Foreign Minister, Stavros Lambrinidis. Foreign Minister, is the debt crisis in Greece getting worse or better right now?
I think it has the potential to get much better once the decisions that the European Union took get applied by all parliaments that have to vote them. The problem up to now has been that although Greece has been at great cost to its people and to its economy. We're in a serious recession. The markets thought that we could never achieve our goals because we simply didn't have enough time to do it. And this is the discussion that is being had right now in Europe, how it is that we can move ahead with the best possible way to safeguard not only Greece, but also Europe and the euro from those who believe or doubt our ability to do so.
How do you think that Greece ended up in the worst position in Europe financially?
Well, there's no question that we had an explosive combination of debt and deficit back in 2009, which was the biggest of any European country. At the same time, however, there's also no question that many European countries had exceeded the goals for debt or deficit or both that have been set jointly by us in the European treaties. And that created imbalances as opposed to balances.
It seems that as the news comes out every day about whether Greece is going to get its next round of bailout funding, that the Greeks sort of feel like they're getting a raw deal, that they are being treated badly by the people who are trying to help bail them out. Is that your sense?
No, but there's no question that the Greek people are not happy because the measures, of course, that have to be applied are extremely tough. Just to give you a sense of this, 5% of the deficit was reduced in only 1 year. Now, if one puts that in the context of U.S. numbers, that would be the whole defense budget of the U.S. Being cut in only 1 year.
Hmm.
At the same time, the whole pension system was recalled in that same year. 10% of the public sector employees left in that same year were not replaced. A number of structural and fiscal consolidation changes took place in a very short period of time. That brought the country into a recession. Of course, that hurts.
Finally, I want to ask you, Greece is going through a period of austerity measures. This is something that is probably going to happen sometime soon in the United States. Could you give us a lesson? What have you learned that you would tell other countries who are going through the same thing?
Well, I would say, on the one hand, that there is no way to get out of a major debt unless one reaches primary surpluses. I would also say that at the same time, it's extremely important to focus on growing an economy while it is contracting because of fiscal consolidation. It is, if you like, these are two joint and they should be inevitable parts of the same coin.
Greek Foreign Minister Stavros Lambrinidis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And finally, a thought as we wrap up our week in London. I had the chance to visit the Churchill War Rooms the other day. They're part of a great museum based in the actual rooms from which Winston Churchill conducted the British effort in World War II. And as I was reading about Churchill, I thought, here's a guy that my country never elected, but who undoubtedly had a big impact on the world Americans live in even today, which makes you wonder, given the increasing magnitude of the European debt crisis, will we be saying the same thing about, say, German leader Angela Merkel 60 or 70 years from now? In London, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
More than a million people are expected to leave the military over the next 5 years and start looking for jobs. Vets are hoping to market their wartime experience.
There's more discipline. There's more of a need and a want to be on time and show up to work, which you don't get a lot of times.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the front lines of the labor wars. Next time on Marketplace from APM, that's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.